Welcome to the Brand Engine Podcast, where we use proven strategies, real-life case studies, and actionable tips to help you, the small business owner, take control of your website and build your brand online. Well, welcome everyone to episode 11 of the Brand Engine Podcast. My name is Gerald Porschman, and with me once again is my co-host, Barry Moore.
G'day, how are you, Gerald? What's up, brother?
Well, mate, I had a pretty good weekend and just kicking back over here in Oz. We just went through the Easter break and that was a couple of days off, and also had the great Anzac Day, which was just another day off for us. Here in Australia, we get so many days off here, we don't know what to do with them.
Living the dream, my friend, living the dream.
That's all we can do. I thought what we'd do today, Barry, is that we've got a lot of posts that came in and a lot of questions that have come from our listeners. And I thought it might be a good idea, if you want, that we should probably go into some of the other episodes and answer some of our listener questions. So are you ready for answering some of these tough little questions people have been asking?
Absolutely, my friend. Hit me with it.
All right. Well, our first one is Lauren from Denver, and she sent us an email. Now, she's looking to set up a WordPress website and is a bit confused between WordPress.com and WordPress.org. Now, what's the difference there?
Yes, that's kind of a common question and a common mix-up a lot of people get. Mm-hmm. WordPress.org basically is the site on the internet that manages the WordPress software. So WordPress is a piece of software you install on a web server, and it creates a content management system for you, as we know. Mm. And you can download that software and put it on any server you like. Now, the people that manage that process of keeping WordPress up to date and enhancing it and bringing out new versions, that all happens at WordPress.org. What WordPress.com is since you need somewhere to host a WordPress site, the people from WordPress have set up their own service where you can easily and quickly set up a WordPress site, and that's WordPress.com. So if you want to set up a blog, you can go over to WordPress.com and set up a free blog. You'll end up with a domain name that goes something like, you know, mysite.wordpress.com. And that will be your blog, and you can test drive WordPress and you can run it for free as long as you want. Then they have services that you can upgrade to. So the basic service is free. If you want some extras like your own domain name, so you want mysite.com, you want to get rid of the WordPress out of there. Then you can upgrade to a paid account, or if you want a shopping cart, you can upgrade to a pay account. So it's basically a hosting company that the WordPress people run. You can use it if you want to, but you don't have to. You can go with pretty much any hosting company in the world. We'll host a website, a WordPress website for you. But that's the difference. One is the business that runs the software, and then one is a hosting provider that specializes in WordPress, if you like.
Well, Lauren, I hope that answers your question. Give us a big thumbs up if it has. So Max from Bakersfield, California has written, I have come up with a domain name that I want. The domain name register says it's gone, but there is no website at that address. Now, is there a way that I can still get that domain name?
Yeah, right. Okay, so if you've gone into your domain name registrar like Crazy Domains or GoDaddy or any of it, and you've put in the domain name you want, and it says it's not available. But then if you type that domain name into your browser, there's nothing there. There's no website there. I think that's his question.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
That just means that someone's registered that domain name, but they're not actually using it for anything. So if you really want that domain name, there may be a chance that you can buy that domain name from the person who currently has it, especially if they're not using it for anything. So they might just bought it and are sitting on it and planning to do something with it later, and they never get around to it. I'm certainly guilty of that. I've got like 100 domain names, and the vast majority of them are sitting there waiting for me to implement my great idea. But what you can do is, if you type in that domain name, sometimes it'll take you to a page that will say, hey, would you like to buy this domain name?
Yes.
If that's the case, then you can just make an offer for what you'd like to pay for that domain name. If that isn't the case, if you go there and there's just nothing behind that address, or you just get an error message that says no website could be found, what you can do is you can do what's called a whois search, whois. If you just Google whois and then put in the domain name, A lot of times it will tell you who owns that domain name, who registered that domain name. And a lot of times it will have their contact email address as well. So you could just send them an email and say, hey, I noticed you're not using this domain name. I might be interested in buying it from you. You know, are you willing to sell it? And that's what I did with the brandengine.com site. I thought that was a really cool domain name, and I wanted it for our new business. Someone had already bought it. I was just sitting on it. They weren't running a website or anything. So I just sent them an email. We came to agreed upon a price, and I bought that domain name from. So it's called like the secondhand domain name market, where people will buy and sell domain names like they do with custom license plates here in Australia.
Yeah.
So there are also marketplaces where you can go and auction places where you can go where people will auction off domain names. So if you might want to troll the auction sites, the domain name auction sites and the domain name marketplaces to look for kind of premium domains that you might want to buy.
So is it true that years ago when the internet first started and everyone wanted to register a domain name, if I got in early enough and I wanted to register the Hilton Hotel, and even though I'm not associated with the Hilton Hotel, was it true that I could sit on that name and just wait for the Hilton to contact me and say, hey, I want that name because we are the Hilton Hotel. I'll buy it off you for $100,000. Was that true that things like that did happen all those years ago, but now it's regulated that you can't?
Absolutely. There was a huge kind of land rush in the early days of domains, and people were buying up anything that they thought somebody else might want in the future. Mm. Here in Australia, they actually regulate it a bit more closely. You have to have an ABN or associated business before you can register a .com.au domain. So it's tighter in Australia than it is anywhere else in the world. But you can certainly go out and buy pretty much any domain name you want in the .com domain if there's any left available for you to buy. You can buy other people's trademark domains. Nothing will stop you from buying it. But I think what you'll find these days, if you put something up there, you know, if you buy Coca-Cola.com and you start putting a site up, the Coca-Cola's lawyers are going to come knocking on your door and say, cease and desist, that's our trademark. So someone can still own the trademark and still own the copyright, and they can fight you for the domain, and they'll probably win. But there's really nothing to stop you from registering it.
Fight them like a girl is what I say.
That's right. Bitch slap them.
Well, Max, hopefully that has answered your question. And once again, give us a big thumbs up if that has. Now, Josh from Sydney, he just writes this one. He says, how can I embed a video into my post?
Yep, that's a very common. That's a very common thing. WordPress realizes that that's a very common request or very common thing that people want to do. So all you really have to do is in your page, your post of your WordPress site, is just paste the YouTube URL on a line all by itself. So if you just paste in the, you know, youtube.com/123, whatever the video URL is, it will embed a player in there for you automatically. Piece of cake.
Yeah, it actually sounds simple, but the thing that I found when I was posting a YouTube video up there is that there are a lot of options from YouTube because you've got the share option. Mm-hmm. You can paste in. So we're not pasting in the address line. We're actually pasting in the embed code, aren't we?
No, you can do either, actually. You can just take the address line for that video, paste it into your post on a line by itself. So it can't be surrounded by text. It has to be a blank line, the URL for your video, and then a blank line. And WordPress will create a little player for it and embed it straight into your WordPress post or page. If you want to control the player a bit more, I think, which is what you're talking about, make it a certain size or whatever, you can paste the embed code, you know, copy and paste the embed code from YouTube and put it into your post and then have a bit more control over how the player looks. And there are a lot of other plugins that allow you to even further control the player as well.
Well, it sounds simple enough, and I think it is that simple if you just grab the URL line and just whack it in, like you said, into the post itself without any text around it. That's right, isn't it?
Yep, that's correct.
Yeah. Now, Trevor from Auckland says, which is quite a popular one here, how do I include the social sharing buttons like Facebook like buttons and tweet buttons on the bottom of my posts?
Yep, that's a big common one as well. There's a number of different ways to do that. You're going to need some sort of plugin. We talked about a plugin called Jetpack in a previous episode.
We did.
Jetpack is, as I said before, is kind of like the Swiss Army knife of plugins, and it comes with actually like 20 or 24 other plugins. So it's one kind of master plugin that has 25 smaller plugins inside it. And if you put Jetpack in, it comes with social sharing buttons that you can add.
Say that again.
It's hard, man. Social sharing buttons.
Social sharing button.
So Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest,
LinkedIn,
all those kind of sites, stumble upon, dig. So, and you just basically set them up inside your WordPress dashboard under Jetpack, and they'll appear wherever you tell them to appear, commonly down at the bottom of a page or down at the bottom of the post. There are a bevy, if you will, of other social sharing plugins. I think on the Brand Engine, we're using one called Shareaholic, I believe, which has some other features to it. But if you go to the WordPress plugin repository, which is also quite difficult to say, and just type in social sharing, you'll get a list of ones there. And the good thing about that WordPress plugin repository is that all the plugins there have ratings from people who have used them. So you can quickly see if it's a dog or a good one.
I've noticed on the brandengine.com, if I repost something from the, say, to Facebook or to LinkedIn, it gives me a little number.
That's right.
I all of a sudden see there's 1,028. Does that mean that I'm the 1,028th person that has reposted that?
Yeah, that's basically how many times it's been shared. And it might be not directly shared in that. So, for example, if someone clicks on that button to tweet about a particular post on the Brand Engine, and then someone sees that in their Twitter feed and then retweets it, then that icon back on the Brand Engine page will say 2 because it's been shared twice. So one directly from our side and then one indirectly via the Twitter feed. So even if it's being shared but not on your site, that particular plugin that I've got, Shareaholic, we'll still count that in the total down the bottom.
And what plugin is that one where it will show the number of times it's been shared out?
Most of the sharing plugins will do that, and it's just a setting inside the plugin in your WordPress dashboard that says either show the number or don't show the number. I could turn it off on the Brand Engine if we wanted to, and it wouldn't show any, or I just tick the box and turn it on. But most of the plugins will have that feature.
Okay, good question, Trevor. They're from Auckland.
Big shout-out to the new Kiwi listeners.
Big shout-out. Hey, Debbie in Lincolnshire in the UK, how do I add a contact form to my website?
Yeah, another good question. Jetpack, again, to the rescue there. It comes with a very basic contact form, and you can use what's called a short code. Now, a short code is just basically... it's kind of hard to explain in an audio format, but it's basically a string of text. Like, so it'll have a square bracket. It'll say contact form, square bracket. But I believe what Jetpack does is it gives you a little button on your toolbar for your post or your page, and it says, you know, you click on the button and it puts in a contact form wherever your cursor is on your page. And that's just a very basic one. So there's, you know, you get, you know, the user's name, their email address, what they wanted to ask you or tell you in the contact form. If you want to go, which is fine 90% of the time, if you want to go bigger and have a bit more custom control over your contact form, there are other plugins, some popular form-based plugins. There's one called Contact 7. And then there's also the most popular ones probably, and the most flexible ones probably, Gravity Forms. So if you want to have a lot of forms on your site, there's a plugin called Gravity Forms that'll allow you to do pretty much anything you want to do. If you want to create a form and then link that to your PayPal account so you can take payments, Gravity Forms will do that kind of stuff for you. It's really quite flexible. Yeah, but that's a plugin you have to pay for. I think it's, from memory, it's like $69 or something. I can't remember. But if you just Google Gravity Forms, there's a number of different payment options depending on whether you want the light version or the pro version, etc.
Yeah, good question, Debbie. Look, the next one here is, I've only chosen one guy's name from this, but I've been asked this dozens of times. So Peter from Newark had asked, what is a favicon or a favicon, and how do I get it showing on the tab bar of my URL?
Yes, the favicon.
Favicon.
For those of you people out there who don't know what a favicon is, it's a little custom icon that appears in the URL bar of your browser. So if you go to thebrandengine.com, for example, you should see our little Rocket Engine and Gear logo there. And that's the favicon. Basically what it is, it's just a tiny little graphic. It can be like 16 by 16 pixels or 32 by 32 pixels. And you have to create that graphic somehow. So Photoshop or Fireworks or GIMP or whatever your graphics package of choice happens to be, you create that little icon. So say it's going to be 32 by 32. Normally in a PNG format, so .png. Also, some of the older browsers will require a .ico for icon, .icon format. And then you have to load that icon up into your website, into a certain folder. And then it will show up when anyone browses to your site. It will also show up when anybody bookmarks your site. So if they bookmark your site and put it onto their favorites bar, the icon will show on their favorites bar as well. So the easiest way to do that, the absolute easiest way to do that, is get a favicon plugin from the plugin repository. I think there's one called All-in-One Favicon is a pretty good one. Just download that plugin. It makes it super simple. So it'll put into your WordPress dashboard, it'll just put in a little box there that says upload your favicon, you upload it, and it takes care of the rest for you.
That sounds too easy. And then what happens is it'll do all the work itself, and the next thing you know, when you open up your browser, there's your little favicon just sitting there.
That's right. So most people do it because, you know, to enhance their branding. So they want their logo everywhere, and it's nice that someone goes to their bookmark menu and there's your logo there, so they're constantly reminded about your branding, you know, and it stands out from the other ones that don't have favicons. That makes sense.
Well, Barry, there are so many more questions that that people have asked, and what we might do is that maybe a couple of podcasts down the track we should, you know, do these again, because the more and more questions that are coming in that our listeners are asking, the more that we can help them building their brand online.
Absolutely. There's always a number of ways you can contact us. We have a contact form. It's just the basic Jetpack one we talked about. So if you go to thebrandengine.com, contact us, there's a contact form there, and you can just fill that out, shoot us a question. You can also just send an email to podcast@thebrandengine.com, and you can shoot it to us that way. Or if you want to be internet famous on the podcast, you can go to thebrandengine.com site, and down the lower left-hand corner, there's a little leave us a voicemail widget, which is called SpeakPipe. It's just a plugin called SpeakPipe, and you can leave us a voicemail, and we'll actually play it out on one of the future shows.
Yeah, don't forget, leave us your feedback, and also, you know, just keep giving us those questions that you want answered, and hey, if we can't find it, we'll make sure we will find out, you know, how to do it for you. Also, it's a great idea if you can leave us some reviews in iTunes and the Brand Engine page in iTunes. Leave us a review there, and we will read them out in the next show.
Absolutely.
So that's it for this. Sorry?
I was just going to say as well that if there's any topics that people would like us to discuss on a future episode, if they want to know about a particular topic, by all means let us know. We'll do a whole show about that topic.
Well, that's it for this week's episode. So we want you to get out there and don't forget to build your brand online. Thanks very much, Barry.
Thanks, Gerald. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Brand Engine podcast. You can find all the show notes, news, and upcoming events over at thebrandengine.com.